Hello and welcome to the Find Your Feminine Fire podcast. I am your host, Amanda Testa. Sit back and relax as my guests and I talk all things sex, love, relationships, and everything that lights you up from the inside out. Welcome. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today, I am so excited to be talking with Natasha Riley, and we're going to be talking about finding intimacy in your own body. If you are listening and you often or sometimes have ever felt uncomfortable in your body or maybe not loving all the parts and pieces of you, then tune in because you're going to love this episode. Welcome, Natasha. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Amanda. I truly appreciate it.
Yes, yes. And I'd love to start just with a little of your story and what led you to be so passionate about becoming a sex therapist and a sex doula and all the amazing things that you do. Just share a little bit more about you and the amazing gifts you offer the world.
Right. So like you said, I am a certified sex doula. I am a licensed sex therapist in the state of Georgia. I'm also a certified sex coach. I went to Sex Coach University with Dr. Patty Britton. I got this way. One, I've always liked the topic of sex, but I got more centered on what I wanted to do with women because I am a mother. I had my first son when I was 20, and I had my second one when I was 30. So that's a big difference. And no one really tells you like the difference on how your body is between snapping back from 20 and snapping back from 30. It's very, very different. And so what happened was in 2016, I spent majority of the first half of the year working out because I had some trips coming up. I was going on my first 8-day cruise. I had a friend getting married and then I was spending my birthday in New Orleans. So I wanted to make sure I looked good. Well, in the midst somewhere of all those trips, I got pregnant. And so all the work that I did to get my body where I wanted to was out the window. And then after I had my son, my body just did not tune back to how I had it. And so I got really frustrated. I didn't like my body. I hated looking at my body. Sex was very hard because I did not like him looking at me. The lights were always off. We were always under the covers and I always had a t-shirt on. And it got so bad. The thought of him walking in on me naked would give me such bad anxiety that I would get dressed in the bathroom with the door locked because I didn't want him walking in. So at some point I was like, oh, this is just not going to work. Like I can't walk around being nervous. So that's when I really started to do a lot of that mindset work and a lot of mirror work and a lot of accepting the affirmations and compliments that he gave me. And then I just started doing stuff to change my body because I had the decision. Either I could sit and eat crap and feel bad about myself, or I could try to eat a little better, move a little more, doing things that I enjoy doing, and start to feel better about myself. So once I came out on the other side, I was like, this has to be shared because I know there's a lot of women going off of social media and just media in general about what the snapback culture after you have a baby. And that's not real life if you don't have snapback money.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I cannot agree with you more. And I feel like this is such a tender topic and I think it's not talked about enough because so often we just struggle with our post-baby body. Well, you see these people and 2 days later, they're looking like they never had a baby. First of all, that's very unlikely and very unrealistic.
Right.
And yes, like you said, maybe if you have like a personal trainer and someone coming to like liposuction, who knows, right? The life of the Kardashians, for example, like that's not like most people. So yeah, but I do appreciate you bringing this because I hear this so many times from women, like after baby, it's hard to feel comfortable in your body. Things have shifted or changed. It's so hard to be intimate. So it is so important to talk about.
Yes, yes. And it's also, we don't feel comfortable talking about it. It's either we don't feel comfortable talking about it, or we just do a whole bunch of complaining and not doing any action behind it.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting too, because I remember, I think one of my friends told me this before I had my baby. I was like, well, you're not going to want to look at your vagina after you have the baby. Mm-hmm. You're going to be afraid. Like all these kind of things, which I'm like, what? And I want to normalize the normalness of the changes that happen there too. But we'll get to that. But anyways, but that just is part of it. I want to make sure we talk about too.
That's very important.
Yeah. You made these realizations, you made these choices, you were eating better and just trying to take in compliments which again can be very challenging of a journey. Mm-hmm. So then what kind of your experience led you to want every other woman out there to understand, like, this doesn't have to be the normal way. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So then what was your next step in the journey, so to speak?
So then that's when I really like honed in on getting that sex coaching piece. Yeah. Sometimes therapy, though it's great, it's a lot of heavy work. It's a lot of processing and a lot of digging deep on some traumas. And while I love doing that work, I also like the coaching aspect, which is, okay, what's the problem? Let's figure out the solution. Now go for it. And if you're not doing it, why are you not doing it? And really setting in that mindset work. There's so much of working with my coaching clients that is about mindset and educating them that what they see, that stuff's not real. It's catered to make you feel some type of way. For clients that have never had an orgasm, they're expecting it to be a certain type of way, when in all actuality, you really had an orgasm. It just didn't look the way that you were expecting it to look. So you're expecting this all out thing, and it's really not. It's individual to each person. So then I really was able to hone in on what I want to work with women and not making it such a long-term thing, like a short-term, let's talk about your negative stories that you're telling yourself. Let's get you back connected with your body, or connected if you've never been connected. And then let's start helping you get a voice so that you can feel comfortable asking for the things that you want and the things that you like that give you pleasure.
I love that. And I love how you mentioned what people think orgasms might need to look like, because mm-hmm. we are so conditioned from media or porn or whatever it may be, because mm-hmm. we have zero, there's not good education out there around sex unless you actually, I feel like, take the initiative to learn, right? We're like expected to know all these things when no one's taught us. And definitely the sex education we got in school is lacking. So it's totally understandable to feel like, all right, well, it's okay to know that you can learn. And that's what the great thing about it is. These are learned skills and you can learn. It makes mm-hmm. me laugh too, because I just saw some meme about Bridgerton around how like unrealistic the sex scenes are and how, no, it, I mean, for most women, it can take up to 45 minutes to be fully aroused for penetration. Yeah. So it's not like 2 minutes and you're having orgasms, yeah. but it just makes me think of that too. Yeah.
Very much so. And that's something I work with my clients as well. It's like, well, I'm in my mind. And I'm like, do you realize it takes, the shortest is 15 to 20 minutes for you to even get slightly aroused. While he's ready for the game, you're not. There's work that needs to be done. So that's a lot of work that has to be done too, because we're so used to like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Be ready now. Get it done now. Instead of enjoying the process of the foreplay or just being connected all day with the activities that we do to come together later and have that physical intimacy. And if they took the time to do that, you would see how much more pleasurable your sex is when you've built up to it and not rushed into it.
Yeah, that buildup is key. And part of that, like you said, is feeling comfortable in your own skin. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, for a woman listening out there, if you're listening and you're like, well, what would be some of the first things I can even do? Like, when you're trying to create this more intimate relationship with your own body, what could you share for them?
So the first thing you definitely have to do is recognize the negative things that you say about your body, because we all know that words are key. Words are truth. So recognize what you're saying. What is your story? And is it even your story? Because that's even more important. Are you taking on this story because this is what your mom has told you forever? This is what your grandmother told you about your body. This is what your friends discuss. Like, what is your story about your body? Once you identify what that story is, then you can change it, which means you have to rebuild the relationship with your body. So I'm very big on mirror work, which was taught to me. Get in that mirror, butt naked, and start looking at yourself. One of the things I always did was I would avoid the mirror. I wouldn't look at myself because there was so much negative things that I could say about myself. But once I really stood in the mirror and looked at myself and challenged those thoughts and forced myself to say positive things about specific body parts, then I was able to like build that relationship. And I learned that my body actually loves me if I just would love it back. So those are the same keys that I give my clients. And I let them, there's a lot of them actually who don't do it the first couple times, the mirror work. And they said it's just too hard, one, to look myself in the eyes, and be honest about what I'm really feeling, but also staying with that, whatever that body part is, and really staying there and finding something positive to say about it. But once they start to do it, they feel the relief. They feel the love that they have for their body and what our bodies do for us. Our bodies carry us all day, and we are really shitty to them. The things that we eat, the things that we do, the things that we binge watch, we don't always treat our body the best, but they still attempt to show up for us every day as best they can.
I love that. And I think it's so powerful when you, if you take that time to look in the mirror, obviously there are the negative things that will come to mind. Mm-hmm. Or all the things that your mom said, or that you heard, or that you are comparing yourself to something. At least that was my experience. And so knowing all that is part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that the longer, I feel like the longer you stay, the longer, the more you can connect with the truth.
Right. But it's easier to ignore the truth, right? Like, it's a whole lot easier to just be like, I'm okay with feeling like this every day. It's fine. I don't want to do that work, because then you deal with all those things you've been hiding, or you've pressed down about family, about how you were introduced to sex, about the fact that you may not really be over that trauma when that's what's keeping you from moving forward.
Yeah, that's a big piece too. Like the fear of what you might find if you spend time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the last piece is, when you become connected with your sexual self, that means you've changed. And a lot of times we don't realize how many people are only around us because of our old selves. And so when we learn our boundaries and our expectations, and I'm so huge on our non-negotiables, it really does tailor every other area in our life. So it's like, if I'm not taking crap sexually, if I'm asking for what I want and standing in my power there, then I can stand in my power everywhere. So with my family, there are certain expectations. There's a certain way you have to step to me now. There are certain things I'm not going to do for you anymore. And it's hard for women to realize that you're going to lose people in this process, because you're no longer providing them with whatever it is that they were getting from you. Now you understand your worth. You understand your expectations and boundaries, and you're setting them forth. So there's always a sense of like grief and loss when they do come into that sexual confidence and that connection with their sexual self, because now you're losing people over it.
Right. And I think that is an interesting thing when you mention your non-negotiables.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love if you would share a little bit more about what that looks like and how you could determine what those are for yourself.
Right. For me, basically, I explain that non-negotiables are things that you are not willing to budge on, whether it comes from what you want in the bedroom, what intimacy looks like, what anything, foreplay, what communication looks like when talking about it. I always have people write down, what are your non-negotiables? What are you saying? This is what it is. I'm not changing it. If you don't like it, then you have to go. And a lot of times we don't want to do those things because we don't want to offend or hurt other people. But everyone should have their sets of non-negotiables. That's what makes you. That's what makes you comfortable. And so I think a lot of times we just really have to sit with, what am I not willing to compromise on? Or what have I been compromising on that makes me uncomfortable? What doesn't sit well with me? Because your body's going to tell you. If you're in an uncomfortable position, or if it's just like, I really don't want to be doing this, that's a non-negotiable.
Yes. I think that's so key, because even especially in long-term relationships, if you've been with someone for a while and you start to do this work around your sexuality and feel more confident and feel more able to voice your needs, it can feel bumpy.
Yeah.
When that's not the way it's been. But at the same time, there's so much power in that, because when you are able to voice, then it becomes something that your body might be more of a yes to, when you can actually be respected, right? Because I know that if you've been compromising yourself, right, or feeling like you have to check the box and have sex when you don't want to, all these things, then over time, it can really build up a lot of tension and pain even when it comes to sex. So it's so huge to have those non-negotiables. I love that.
Right. And non-negotiables, they don't have to be non-negotiables when you don't want them to be. Like, that's the great thing about it. Yeah. You can change it. Like, you can go a year from now and realize you're non-negotiable. You're willing to be a little bit more lenient on. And that's fine, too. Like, you get to write your story. You get to set your rules and your terms. Nothing ever has to be set in stone. But when you feel like it is what it is, voice that and don't be ashamed to voice that.
Yeah. I guess it's the only way you're going to find out, right? If you're like, this is the rule, this is my no. And then after a while, you're like, maybe it's not really. Then you could look like we're always evolving and changing. So I love that. Being flexible with yourself.
Yes. We're too hard on ourselves about a lot of things.
And I know too, you mentioned the fear of losing people or an understanding that if that is the case, and sometimes that realization that maybe certain relationships or friendships or things aren't necessarily serving you the way you thought they were, then letting go can be hard. But at the same time, then it makes space for more relationships that do serve you, right?
Yes, because the energy is felt.
Yeah.
So people know when you're walking in that energy, that vibrating energy, like, I cannot mess with her because she carries herself with this space where I can't penetrate that. I can't mess with her mind. I can't take advantage of her. So I'm just going to steer clear. And then the people who are drawn to that are normally people that they are full of energy. They're vibrating high as well. But it's hard because sometimes these people have been in your life for years. Sometimes they're family members. Sometimes they're your partner that you realize we're just the new me is not compatible with the old you.
I think though, there's that, like you mentioned, that confidence that comes with making that connection with yourself and feeling that love for yourself, that it makes it easier to do these challenging. They might feel challenging, but it makes them easier to do. And so if you're listening, thinking this feels way too scary, know that like, it's a process. It's not like you have to change today, but it's so key. And I'd love to dive into too, because I know when it comes to the connecting with your body. And like, so if you're doing the mirror work, you're starting to feel more comfortable in your body and you're starting to move in to be like, okay, now I want to be more comfortable with my sexual organs, with my vagina, with my pussy, whatever you like to call it. So what would be some of your tips around that? Like if someone's coming to you and they're feeling maybe pretty good around most things, but just a lot of shame or around sexuality.
Definitely. Whether you call it your yoni, your pussy, your vagina, I always say, give her a name, because when you give her a name, it definitely strengthens that relationship. And then just go back into the mirror work. This time your mirror is a little smaller and you go down and you really look at what your vagina looks like, because that's another area that a lot of women are ashamed. It doesn't look like the women in the porns. It doesn't look like this. It doesn't look like that. Not realizing that everybody's vagina looks different and you just need to get acquainted with yours. So knowing what it looks like, knowing what it smells like. I even go as far as know what it tastes like, because if you want someone else to be down there, then why wouldn't you want to try your own stuff? And it's so much that you can learn about your body just by being acquainted to your vagina. Because there's a lot of times where we're in pain or there are things actually going wrong and we don't know until we go to the doctor. So I'm like, why would you give all of that power and that responsibility to the doctor? There are a lot of things that you can be reactive or proactive when you just take the time to get to know your vagina. So if it smells different, that means there's some things that could be going on. If it looks different, if the discharge looks different, then you kind of know, okay, maybe I need to go to the doctor, or maybe I need to take this medicine. Maybe I need to change my diet. There's something that I'm eating that is changing. And it's so funny, like for me, the first time I paid attention to the fact that my pee smells different when I eat asparagus, I never ever paid attention to that. And then one day I just happened to be, I don't even know why I was so in tune, but I was like, oh my gosh. And that's when I learned, no, that's what happens. So it's things like that you get in tune to, and you can definitely fix problems before they get too far gone, that now you have to take all this medication and now you're infertile, because there's a lot of things out there that can mess with our fertility. So it's just about knowing, not even just for sex, but for your health.
I love that. And I think that health piece is so huge, because like you said, giving all that power to the doctor who you might see once or twice a year,
right?
That they're spending 10 minutes with you, they're definitely not going to have the same knowledge that you do. I love that. And also taking that stigma out of our own body and the functions and the fluids and all the pieces and parts and smells and all of it.
Yeah.
It'd be so liberating.
Because it's yours. Like, it's yours. Embrace it. Love it. It's fine.
Yes, I love that. I think it's interesting too, because the mirror work can feel really scary to do at first. If someone's thinking, all right, I've got my small mirror, I'm getting brave, I'm going to look at my vagina, I'm going to see what's going on with my vulva. Because actually, yes, the vulva is the external genitalia, the vagina is the canal. So, but I'm curious, like, what are some tips you can give to kind of help people feel less nervous about moving into that level of intimacy with themselves in the mirror?
So it's not a doctor's office, so you can set the mood. You can set the mood. You can set lights. Make it a date with yourself. We set the mood for when we're going to be intimate with our partner sometimes. So why not set the mood for yourself? If you want to take yourself to dinner and then come and have a nice bath and put on something that smells really nice, put on sexy lingerie if you want, music, candles, like the whole nine, just for that intimate time, it releases a lot of the anxiety about it.
I think that mood piece is so key.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. It's like, this is just you. There's no one else. This is just, you get to do it however you want it.
Right. But it's just been ingrained in us that we don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't look down there. Don't touch that. That's a bad part of you. And so we disconnect. Like, it's a whole different part of us. It's like our body. Then we have our vagina and our vulva. Those are two separate entities. When it's like, no, it's all one. Get to know all of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because I do believe our sexuality is such a key piece of our overall health and well-being. So when you are that connected with your bodily functions and your smells and your taste, and you, like you said, you can notice when things are off, but if things aren't functioning well with regards to your sexuality or your sexual organs, usually there's other things at play.
Yeah.
So it's so key. You're right. We have to have this holistic view of our bodies.
Very much so. Very much so. And I think we're so focused on other things, which is like, again, it's easier to be distracted by something else than to really tap in with what's going on with me and how deep it goes.
So true. And it's interesting too, because I think there's that also, like you said, there's a lot of possibly shame and guilt mixed in because maybe when you were young, you got yelled at for masturbating, or maybe like me, there was a lot of religious shame around everything. And so there can be a lot of ingrained fear, but I think that's, like you say, what's so powerful about doing this work of recreating the connection for yourself, creating that new story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what story, do you, right? What do you want to have the story be?
Right. Your story is not set in stone. I think that's where it starts. We have to know our story and where the story comes from. And once you start telling it to someone, like, all that gunk starts to come up that you didn't even realize.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why I feel like, especially with sexuality work, it can be really helpful to work with a professional, because there can be so much latent things that might come up that you wouldn't expect.
And I don't know if you experience this, but working with clients, I always have women that say, this is really crazy. And I know this is really weird. And I'm like, all I do is talk about sex. There is no weird.
Yes. One of the things too, it's, which I love talking about this and open the conversation, because I do hear that so much. And then often if I'm in groups or if I'm leading groups, I so often hear women say like, oh, I thought I was the only one that dealt with this.
Right.
And there's, everyone's like, oh my gosh, me too.
Right. It's just, you're not talking about it. You would see how many people you really do connect with and how many people actually really do understand some of the struggles if we just would be open about it and not feel like it's something we have to battle with by ourselves.
Right. Because it is such a huge piece of who we are and how we express ourselves and how we are in the world. And people often put sex on the back burner or think it's like, oh, one day I'll get to that.
Yes.
But I feel like it could be one of the first things you address, because if so, you can save yourself 7 years of personal development work, I feel like.
Very, very much so. And you're just happier. Like, if you really think about when you're having sex that you don't enjoy or creates anxiety, like, your whole life is just like, ugh. But if you're having really good sex, you're having it how you want it, whether it's with yourself or someone else, you're having orgasms, you just feel lighter. Like, the world could be crashing. And at times, sometimes I feel it is, but you just, you have a nice little pep in your step. It makes everyone angry, but it's like, no, I'm really just happy. I just had really good sex.
And it is. It's so good for your nervous system and your like your health, your circulatory system, your hormones, everything.
Yes. Stress is just like minimal when it comes to that.
Yeah. And I'm wondering too, with regards to, this is a question that people out there listening might not be aware, like, well, what is a sex doula? What does that mean? I'd love if you'd share a little bit more about that, because I think it's pretty awesome.
Basically, a sex doula really is encompassing that body connection and that sexuality piece and incorporating like the spirituality of it. So there's a lot of that sacral chakra work where we get into womb wellness and how we as women hold a lot of trauma, a lot of stress, a lot of everything in our womb, and just being able to walk into that energy, being able to connect with our womb. And I just walk, it's almost like a birth doula, like walking this journey with you so that when you come out on the other side, you're a more whole sexual woman, because there's so much of that religion piece, like you said, there's so much of that ingrained in a lot of women. And so incorporating the energy of it and the spirituality of sex and our bodies and the different things that we could be doing to really open up the floodgates to allow what pleasure really means to us in, that's powerful.
So good. I like when you just said open up the floodgates, I'm getting chills. What would be one of your favorite strategies around that, or favorite tools that you like to share around opening up to more pleasure and how we can do that?
It's always going to be the mirror work, because once I can get a client to acknowledge their story and realize they don't have to carry that anymore, and I get them to realize how beautiful their body is and how much power they have when they step into that, everything else is a lot easier to acknowledge what they like and being able to stand in, this is what I want. This is what I want to start asking for. That mirror work, that body work, it's like working with two different people when they do that.
I'm sure, like the before and after is amazing, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes I want to tell people, like, take a picture at the beginning when you first start doing the work, and then take a picture at the end and just look at the difference, right?
And you can see the difference. It's really crazy. Like the confidence, the glow, how people carry themselves. They may start like doing their makeup or wearing their hair a certain way, or their clothes change opposed to the sweatshirt and really enclosed, hunched over. Yeah, definitely.
I love that. And I think people will often come up and be like, what are you doing differently? You look so good. Or
you have to glow about yourself. What is that? Oh, I can tell you what it
is. Yes. One of the other things too, I feel like, especially now with being cooped up, having the pandemic going on for so long, people I notice are just really kind of at the end of their ropes a lot. There's a lot more mental stress. There's a lot more just everything, financial stress, fear, just all that's going on. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering what you would share around that. Like if someone is feeling all that stress and is like, well, I know I need to do something, but I don't even know where to begin. And why would it be looking at myself in the mirror, like what you can offer to them there, because you're connecting the dots with why that is so supportive.
I think right now with that headspace, the first thing would be, what makes you happy? Because there's so much of our happiness that's been lost in these times, or not even what makes you happy, because that can come and go, but what makes you feel good? What genuinely lights you up, fuels you with energy, gives you motivation, and start doing more of that. Once you start doing more of that, now you're making more space to do the other things, like paying attention to what you're saying to yourself and, you know, what you're doing with your body, what you're putting into your body, because it's like, I want to feel good all the time. And all of these things connect to each other, because when we start feeling crappy, we start eating crappy, we start hiding ourselves in our room with the shades pulled, watching Netflix, but that genuinely doesn't make us feel good long term. It actually makes us feel worse. So we have to do more of what makes us happy. If walking outside in the sunshine or putting your feet in the grass makes you happy, do more of that, so that you can feed your soul that, so that you can move forward with the rest of your journey.
That's so powerful. And too, when you mentioned the self-talk, because I know this is something that can happen so easily, like so quickly, if you're not aware, that self-talk can be so harsh and so negative. And so I'd love if maybe you could share a little about that. What would be maybe a first step for speaking more kindly to yourself, or kind of noticing when you're self-talk gets maybe hooked on the downward spiral trend.
Yeah, I am a sticky note queen. So everywhere I go, I have, like, right now, sticky notes all over my desk. I have sticky notes on my mirror. I have a board, sticky notes. I also have an affirmation alarm that goes off 4 times a day. It goes off at 8 in the morning, 12 in the afternoon, 4 in the evening, and 8 in the evening. And it just has my affirmation. And so I see that every day. And that just helps to transition my mind because in the beginning, I couldn't do it myself. And a lot of times we can't because we've spent years saying these negative things to ourselves. So now we need a little help. So writing things down, sometimes I'll just write my affirmation down 5 or 10 times when I'm feeling like I really want it to stick, I'll do that. But now I've gotten to the point to where I can see when something negative is coming in and just like the snap of my finger, I can change it. Like, no, we're not going down that way. This is the direction that we're going to go. But that's really hard. And I think people get frustrated with that because they expect to be able to change their mindset to positive immediately. But you have to think about how long you've been doing this. Some of us have been doing this for years. We've been listening to people tell us our bodies aren't right, or why is this look like this, or why are you like that? And so we've taken on that story for years. So you're not going to be positive Patty in 48 hours. It's going to take the work to do.
Yeah. And I feel like it never ends, right? No. It's still, there's never like the pinnacle of, oh, I've completed it. I'm now no longer talking. It's that awareness and being, like you say, so compassionate with yourself. Mm-hmm. And also noticing, like for myself, I can notice if I'm not feeling well, mm-hmm. or if there's other factors at play and I'm feeling less supported, it's mm-hmm. easier for my mind to like go down the downward spiral. And I even like to use my fingers. I don't know, something about bringing in my body helps. But like, if I notice myself like going down in the downward spiral, I actually like, I spin my finger the other way. I'm like, okay, like, what's something we can talk about that's like at least stable or neutral or the not going to take me down this road.
Right. And that's great that you say that, like being able to speak what it is. Sometimes we just feel different. Like for me now, I don't allow how I'm feeling to come out in my actions. So sometimes we feel crappy and we start treating people crappy. And so a lot of times I would be angry and I would take that out on my family until my son was like, you're just always so angry. And then everyone else was like, yeah. So I was like, okay, well, let me pay attention to that. And I ended up finding out what it was. Like, I work 45 minutes from the house and I'm sitting in traffic for 1.5 hours. I'm irritable by the time I come home. And then when I get here, all y'all are in my face and all I notice is what's not being done. So once I was able to eliminate those things and be intentional about when I walk through the door, let me just focus in on them, then I'm able to articulate what it was because I paid attention to it. So now when that comes up, I'm like, okay, I don't know what it is, but I feel really irritable right now, or I feel really anxious. And so I found that people are more likely to talk it out with me, or they respect when I find myself isolated sometimes, because it's not like, it's not you. I'm trying to figure it out and I don't want to take it out on you because I don't know exactly what it is right now. So once I'm able to either we talk it out or I have a moment to myself, when I'm ready to come out of it, I do.
Yeah, that's big right there. Not taking it out on those that you love. Mm-hmm. Because like you say, it's so easy to be in a crappy mood and be like, rah.
Yep.
Just like let it go.
Yes, and exactly what it sounds like. Yes.
But I love what you share too, because it sounds like a lot of it, yay, is intention. But then it makes me think too, back to the non-negotiables, mm-hmm. right? Because oftentimes we feel angry when our boundaries are being crossed or when we haven't stated them and no one knows what they are. And right. So we're just like all over the place and people don't know how to come to us, or there's not that clarity, right?
Yes. Yes. Because we think that everyone are genies and should know exactly what's going on in our head all of the time. That's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, right. Especially our loved ones. Like, we expect them to know, right? They should know.
Know me. I'm in a bad mood. Why would you come talk to me?
But it's so interesting, and especially with kids, because they pick up on everything. I feel like that's one of the huge benefits of this type of work as well, because when you have that more confidence in yourself, more, it's like you have more presence. So mm-hmm. it is more easy to take that time and say, I'm trying to just figure out why I'm so angry right now.
Yes.
And it's not about you, but just give me a minute versus just unleashing.
Mm-hmm.
It's also connected, right?
Yes. Yes. Still a work in progress, but I'm getting a mm-hmm. whole lot better. And my kids pick up on that, though, because the little one, he's 4, and he'll tell you, I'm really sad right now. Or when he's angry, he goes in his room and he closes his door. And it's like, okay, he's in a mood. And when he's done crying or whatever it is, he comes out.
Yeah, that's a huge, too, for that just ability to have all the emotions that you have. I know for many, and I know for myself, like certain emotions were frowned upon coming along, right? Yeah. You can't cry or this, that, and the other. Yeah. But being able to allow yourself to express, then that helps your kids. And then everyone realizes, oh, these are normal things. Like it's normal to have emotions. It's normal to be the range, right?
Yes. And I think I'm so one of those, like, talk it out. I have a teenager as well. I try to force him to talk. It's like, I have boys and I want you to be able to have your emotions and I want you to be able to talk. So sometimes I go overboard when I can see a shift in his mood and I'm like, what's wrong? I know something's wrong. What's wrong? Instead of just allowing him to feel what he feels and then be like, okay, well, this is what was wrong. Because a lot of times after the fact, he'll come to me and he'll say, well, this is what was bothering me. And so, like I say, still a work in progress.
Yes, we all are. But that's the beauty of it. Like, there's never the final destination. It's just enjoying the current journey. Yeah,
enjoying the journey.
Yeah. And when you are more enjoying more pleasure along the way, it definitely makes the journey more fun.
Yes, it does. Oh, yeah.
More joyful and orgasmic.
Yes.
Well, I so love chatting with you. And I'm wondering, too, if you could share maybe if there was any a question that you maybe wish that I would have asked that I didn't, or any other last words you'd like to share with the listeners?
So the biggest thing is there, you're never too young or too old to get connected with yourself and to do the work on your sexual journey. Just because you've been doing something for years doesn't mean that is something that you have to continue doing. Like, there's nothing wrong with reaching out to a sex coach to say, this doesn't sit well with me anymore. I want to change it. The world is the limit. Like, the sky is the limit when it comes to sexuality. So never feel like you can't reach out and that you have to stay in the situation that you're in. Like, you always have the choice to change it.
Love that. You always have the choice. Yes. And Natasha, where can everyone connect with you and find you?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm at Closet Freak Chronicles. And then on Facebook, it's one, my Facebook group is the Sensually Free and Sexually Confident Tribe. I absolutely love it in there. It is a safe space for women to just really come into their own and talk about anything that they want. And then you can find me at Natasha Chantel Sex and Intimacy Coaching on Facebook.
I love it. Thank you. And I'll make sure to put in the show notes all these links so you can connect with Natasha. Yay. Well, thank you so much again for being here.
Thank you for having me. I absolutely loved it.
Yes. And thank you all for listening. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you felt a calling while listening to this episode to take this work further, I invite you to reach out and schedule a confidential heart-to-heart with me at amandatesta.com/activate. You can also stay in touch with me on Insta at abtesta. You can join my Facebook group, Find Your Feminine Fire Group on Facebook, and continue this conversation. Thank you to my producer, Ironic Media, for their support in this episode. Wishing you all so much love. Take good care, and we will see you next week.